welcome back to the Great and Terrible AHS. Let's just get right into it. We're doing the back half of the final episode of Coven here, the Seven Wonders. I guess this will be the back three. And we're here to find out if one of the last wonders is Zoe getting stabbed on a fence. And joining me on this... Sorry, I'm just thinking about Zoe on the fence again. They told her don't do it like three times. I'm Liz. Hey, Miss Shadow Lovelies.
Hello.
Hey! They did tell her, though.
I can't keep my composure when I think about, hey, be careful. Careful, girls. Careful. We're teleporting.
Oof, owie, ouch, my fence.
Where were you trying to teleport to? We can't be doing this at minute one. Also joining me is Slow Beef. Hey, what's up, man?
Yo.
Why would you like teleport? This is why we need to have a school where we teach people how to use their powers, and more importantly, perhaps how not to use them. For example, careful around fences, Nightcrawler. Even just that would be a really good start.
I feel like even just like a baseline, like instead of just be careful, how about like be careful, make sure you go somewhere where there isn't already an object. Like, I feel like that's, like, teleportation number one. Like, rule number one is, like, maybe just get that out there. Get ahead of it. Be like, hey, make sure you only go places where there's not already something. Like, this, a bad thing will happen if that place is already taken up by something and you are trying to go there.
Yeah, it seems like one of the first things you'd want to establish is if I teleport where someone else is, who wins the trade? Like, who gets away from this and who's in trouble? Because clearly the answer is Zoe's in trouble. And someone should have let her know, I think. Maybe.
Yeah. It's like, I don't know. It's so frustrating because, like you said, this would be, like, better if it was, like, a school. Because, like, even in recent memory, the show My Hero Academia has a character that, like, does that where, like, they can phase through stuff. And the first thing they got to teach that guy is, like, hard focusing to make sure he doesn't unphase before he's fully through whatever he's going through, because it'll be a... bad. He'll die if he doesn't, which seems like common sense, but none of the girls in this show have that, and nobody mentions it to them, so they just get owned upon doing it. Also, like, when Madison first does it in the last episode, she literally says something to the effect of, like, oh, yeah, I was here, and I wanted to be there, and then I just was. So did Zoe want to be on the fence? Like, is that what
in the fence?
Yeah. She's like a squirrel. We just looked over like fence, you know, and then
The huge misplay.
I think that they could have actually made it like something like they could have at least made the scene make sense by having her like have a thing where she's like, "Ooh, I'm gonna get up high." Like, we see a moment of her like looking up there and being like, "Oh, I've got a clever idea." And then her just beefing
Gamers
it.
Gamers don't look up, yeah. Says Zoe.
But no, she just is not on the fence 1 second and then is fully impaled by the fence, Mortal Kombat style, the next second.
You also bring up like a really good point that I wasn't thinking about, which is the whole teleportation transmutation thing up to this scene has been like you... simply stop being one place and are another. Like, it's not like you walk there very quickly or anything. It's just you vanish and you reappear and you're in the other place. It's like very much a type of teleportation, not really as much of a like go real fast. And I feel like during this scene everybody's doing the flash run. Maybe I'm like misremembering, but I feel like you see them like swoosh around. It's not just like they disappear and reappear. Am I misremembering?
No, they do like a little bit of a visual effect where they go like, yeah. Whoosh, whoosh, whoosh. I think to like really emphasize that the girls are playing tag, to like really hammer home that that's what they're doing. Because like when Madison does it, it is just a pop, and then she's wherever she wanted to be. Remember, allegedly the Supreme can do all of that, and how you know, Fiona just didn't ever.
Yeah, yeah. I remember that. Maybe she just did it for, like, demonstration purposes in the Seven Wonders, and then was just like, I'm never doing that again. I'll kill myself going through this.
Maybe that is what happened. Maybe she was like gonna do it one time and no one told her what to do, and she like almost beefed it and was like, holy shit, I'm never doing that again. Fuck that.
Or what if it just makes her really nauseous? Because I imagine like transporting somewhere instantly, I would immediately throw up. Like, yeah. I don't know why, but I feel like there's like a level of motion that's gotta be occurring.
Yeah.
Isn't that like a thing in, I feel like there's some like sci-fi thing or whatever where it's like teleportation makes them nauseous or something. Whatever.
I think speedsters. Matter, I think in several different like iterations of speedsters that, which is kind of like teleportation.
In The Witcher, Geralt hates going through portals because they make him violently ill.
Yeah, that might be it. I'm thinking of.
Yeah, but this show doesn't care. They're just like, yeah, if you teleport, sometimes you might be bad and stupid at it and end up impaled on a fence. But I mean, that's fine, right? Because like, death has never meant anything before in this show. So like, surely we can just revive Zoe.
That's a really great point, Liz. We just revive people left and right willy-nilly, so this has no, like, gravity.
Yeah, like, maybe that's why they weren't so pressed about it. They're like, yeah, she'll die and we'll bring her back. Like, that's just, like, a Tuesday for us at this point. Like, we just kind of assume our girls are gonna die at this point. Hell, we even have a wonder we have to test it out on. We have a wonder that we have to, you know, put to the test that is literally reviving people from the dead. Great, she saved us some trouble. Good thing we didn't do that one first, because that would be really awkward.
What if she was the supreme and she was the only one that could revive people and they really fucked up?
And then they trap Misty in hell, so the other person who can do it also.
I forgot!
Also, there.
Why did we X zone the swap witch? What were we doing?
The one who is like objectively the best at reviving people and can do it with little to no like problem whatsoever. Yeah. But yeah, like I said, great news. We are in a house full of witches who I believe everybody knows how to revive people. Almost everyone in the house has done it at least once. Zoe did it on like a homeless guy. Madison did it on Kyle. Queenie kind of did it on Delphine, but then she definitely did it on Misty. I want to say Myrtle did it on someone too, but I don't remember. Maybe she was just present for a resurrection. But yeah, like everybody who's there knows how to do it, and we've seen them do it. So Zoe being dead shouldn't be a problem. They have a new wonder.
These women love to whisper Vitalum Vitalis into each other's mouth when they're asleep. Like, that's like half of what they do in this show, I think.
Yeah. Weirdly, they haven't said those words except for the last episode, even though they are insistent that you have to. Resurrected by other means, almost exclusively.
Mud.
Yeah, mud.
Mud being a big one. Yeah, mud.
Just like
you can use the magic Latin phrase or dirt.
Yeah. So this will be fine because we actually, this is good actually, because the next one we have to test out is whether or not the girls have Vitalum Vitalis, which is the ability to raise someone from the dead. So this kind of worked out perfectly. Zoe actually kind of like inadvertently opted into being the test subject for the next wonder.
Were they just gonna like fucking kill a like a dog or like a random homeless guy? Like, that's, what the fuck were they planning? Do we have any like?
Well, that's what I assumed. That's kind of what I assumed.
I assumed, yeah. Well, I assumed what ended up happening was kind of around the idea of the plan. You know, that is to say, like, or I guess to put it this way, right? It's like, first of all, I have the question. Also, is Zoe disqualified now? Like, if she gets resurrected now, it's like, all right, well, you're clearly not the Supreme. Or if it's like, look,
well, Madison is out.
Huh?
Because Madison died, too.
Yeah. And they can't say that she doesn't know teleport, because she does know teleport.
She does, clearly.
She just fucked it up. Like, she knows how to do it. She just fucked it up.
There's no proficiency score, right? It seems like it's just pass-fail. So, you know, but
I mean, on like the test where they have to pull the candlesticks towards them, like some of them did it really well and some of them did like real shit at it. Like, where does that fall on the Supreme scale? Like, what if someone's like doesn't have all of them but is like way better at most of them than the person who can do all of them? Like, shouldn't that person be the Supreme, not like the person who beefed it? Oh, well. So Zoe's dead.
That's kind of.
Oh well, American Horror Story, Coven. Oh well.
Yeah. To answer your question, I assume that the implication, because I think they had a moment later where they realize, like, oh yeah, what would they have done if Zoe had not fucked up and we had a dead person? Well, how would we have tested this? I think either they would have A, explained it away and been like, oh, well, all of you have revived someone, so that's fine. You've all done it. Or they would simply, I think, do what, like, Madison ends up doing, which is, like, kill a fly and then bring it back. Because she does that to be like a
weak.
Fuck you. Yeah.
Weak.
Yeah.
Boo.
But, yeah, they don't have to because we have Zoe who telefragged herself into a fence. Luckily for us. Unluckily
like,
for
maybe
Zoe.
Maybe they were like, we'll send him to hell and one of them will fuck up. And then Misty fucked up. And they were like, damn, Misty, really? And then her body like turned into Thanos sand. And she was like, they were like, no, we needed that. No, fuck.
Also, that's not even dying. Like, I feel like they warned the girls about like dying maybe in some of these, which it makes sense. Like the teleportation one, I could easily see how you could accidentally die. In fact, Zoe did it. But like the hell thing isn't dying. It's like getting trapped in the Satan realm forever. That's not dying. So like,
yeah,
maybe
you're
that
right.
Required...
It's like deep soul magic.
maybe that one required like a little bit more of a disclaimer. Like, hey, we cannot reiterate enough. We will not be able to bring you back if you die in this one. This one, usually death does not matter. This one does.
We need you, Misty. We need you to visit the Torment Nexus. But why? Everyone keeps telling me to never go or build the Torment Nexus. Misty, it's important. We won't know you're the Supreme unless you go to the Torment Nexus and come back. Well, it was unavoidable. She's stuck in the Torment Nexus.
That's the other thing, is like she didn't technically fail all of the that's the thing that I think is like the most frustrating, is like not once does any of the girls like straight up fail until like a later test. They all like do it, they just like fuck up the thing they're doing, so they like have a power, they just like do it wrong, which means that like hypothetically all of them could be the Supreme except for like later when one of them can't do something. Like you all have all the powers. What are you talking about? Like, this is, according to all of the rest of the show, this is unprecedented. I feel like they should be freaking out more because all of the witches have all of the powers. Just some of them are bad at them. They, like, at the last second moved the goalposts from being, yeah, if you're the Supreme, you get 7 powers, to, no, everybody gets 7 powers. You just have to do a test and you have to, like, beat the test. That's how we know you're the Supreme. It's not that if you have all the powers anymore, it's you have to be like good at them also and not die, which I feel like is like the way that they decide who the next Supreme is has gone from like being oh, that's kind of interesting, like when one dies a new one just like pops into existence, like that's an interesting
it's
idea,
like a birthright thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
to then oh no, we'll figure out which one of you is the Supreme when you develop all the powers and we can tell because you'll have all the powers and no one else will, to no, all of you get all of the powers all of the time. We just have to put you in a test to see which one of you's good at them.
So make sure you study. Maybe,
yeah.
Maybe like
you know,
practice?
All the lessons we gave
not
you.
Yeah. You know, study.
The singing competition portion is going to be like really brutal for a few of them if they haven't put the time in, for sure.
Yeah.
There's like, yeah, the part where they have to do a bunch of pull-ups, that's going to be rough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, also, don't practice like, going to
nonsense.
Hell. If you can,
if you can help it.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, you should, but you shouldn't. It's tough. I don't know. We didn't think it through.
That feels like one of those things where if we are going to have a board of directors of witches, I feel like one of their first things should be like, hey, can we get the go to hell test removed from the 7 wonders? I know it's like historically it's been there, but I feel like we maybe only use that one if we like really have to. Like, it's like really
bad. And then
bad.
Like Sandra, the Descent to Hell Master, is like, no, we're not getting rid of that one. Okay.
I love Descensum. It's so important. You're not removing Descensum from the curriculum.
And remember when Carol killed herself when she was just bringing the stupid candle to her? It was like a long shot, but she did it. We're just going to remove that one too.
Oh, God. What a Karen. Not you, Karen, the one who killed yourself with the fire, though. But, you know.
Yeah, this is a cool school for good witches. So back to Zoe being dead and now having us all have to do the resurrection test. Queenie is brought up first to resurrect Zoe, who's dead. They were, like, in the greenhouse or whatever, and Zoe's, like, on the slab. And Queenie goes to resurrect Zoe. She can't. And I know what some of you are thinking. Why? Queenie has revived another person. She did it one episode ago.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Literally using the phrase that they reference as the Seven Wonder. Like, it wasn't, you can't, it's just one of those things of, they would have been able to say, like, oh, she would did it from a way she learned from Marie Laveau or something off to the side. But nope, they had her literally turn to the camera and go, this is Vitalum Vit, I am doing Vitalum Vitalis. There's no way to conflate this. So why can't she now? Is there a reason?
No, and they won't try to explain it either. It's just, oh no, I can't do it.
Shit, we have one too many people left for plot reasons.
Yeah. Suddenly, I've decided I can't do. They don't even like try to explain it. Like, oh, it's because she's too nervous or whatever. It's just like, no, just Queenie can't do it for some reason. And by the way, they treat it like this disqualifies Queenie, and I'm like, Queenie literally did the spell one day ago. We saw her do it.
Yeah.
One day ago. She did it one day ago. So we know she can do it because she did it one day ago in the presence of one of the two people proctoring the test, I might add. Yeah. So Queenie can't resurrect Zoe. Oh, no. They're not going to try and explain why. And there isn't a reason.
Yeah.
She just can't.
Ta-da. Also, Queenie seems really upset, and I don't think Queenie likes anyone in this house right now, if we're being real.
Yeah. Like, yeah. I guess if she, like, hated someone the least, I guess it would have been Zoe, but, like, I guess I would describe them as, like, amicable at best. Like, they're definitely not friends.
Yeah.
But she's upset. Like, Queenie's, like, very upset she can't revive Zoe. Then it comes to Madison, who we also know can revive people because she revived Kyle. We've never seen anybody do Vitalum, or we've never seen her do Vitalum Vitalis. We've seen her revive someone, which I feel like counts, if we're being honest. And then she's
that
like,
brings up the whole question of, like, is the ritual magic versus the just doing it magic, like, a separate thing, which the show has no interest in exploring, so why should we?
Yeah, in case you're wondering, like, oh, well, maybe that means Madison can't do it without doing the incantation. No, later in the episode, she's just going to kill a fly and do it to prove that she can. So she
right
can.
Here, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Right now, yeah, because they're like, we need you to bring back Zoe. He's like, yeah, but if I don't bring back Zoe, then I have no competition, so I'd win by default, right? And they're like, but you have to do Vitalum Vitalis. Oh, look, a plot convenient fly, you know, and then...
Which, hey, they've already made a big deal about how if you, like, kill one of your sister witches, that's, like, the highest crime, and you get burned at the stake, and also they make a painting of you, but with, like, 20 pounds heavier, and, like, they rename you, like, the Fartmancer, or something. Yeah, like, it's like a big deal. Hey, as somebody who's worked in the medical industry a lot, ignoring someone when you very clearly could save them is in fact the same thing. It's often viewed as exactly the same thing. If you, like, have the ability to resuscitate someone, they don't have a DNR, and you just don't do it for no discernible reason. Usually it's because of, like, race, but in this case it's for a way dumber reason. But yeah, like, that's equivalent to murder, I think, pretty clearly. I think that's pretty open and shut. I think if someone could revive you and you were just like, no, I don't want them to win, so I'm gonna let them be dead. Like, that's, you killed them. You are killing them. I don't see how this. And Myrtle's just like, oh, okay, you're a sassy little bitch. And it's like, no, Myrtle, she has to save Zoe. There's five of you left.
Yeah, no.
Counterpoint.
Get it together.
Counterpoint. I think you'll find that they actually kind of don't give a shit whether you killed another witch or not. And how they feel about it really depends on who you ask and what time of the day and whether that person ate lunch or not, because Madison straight up killed Misty and nobody gave a shit about that.
That's a good point, too.
You're so right, Bestie. They totally just ignored Misty getting killed. Jesus Christ. What is wrong with Myrtle? Is Myrtle okay? No.
Yeah, and Myrtle even said something to Myrtle's actually the only person who mentioned that Madison would be in trouble for killing Misty, because she was like, oh, they're exhuming Misty from the tomb she was trapped in and killed in. It sure would be a shame if they were to ask her who did it and that person were to be someone in the house. And Madison's like, oh, yeah, that would be pretty crazy.
I think we're just supposed to assume that when Misty Day ran in, grabbed her by the collar and said, I'll use my hands, that she like beat the shit out of her. Like, that's really what it is. It's because like she had to like beat the shit out of her for this to be justifiable. So I'm just going to imagine like an hour and a half scene of Misty Day just repeatedly punching Madison, because that's the only way that everyone is just like, whoa, okay, Misty, she killed you, but like calm down.
Yeah, she turbo like wails on Madison, which I'd like to think that like all of the adult witches in the house were like, okay, well, like, that counts, right? Like, that's not burning her at the stake, but, like, that's okay. That's fine. She got back at her.
I like to imagine, too, is, like, if you're getting beaten up by the healer, that's, like, the worst, right? Because if you're, like, bleeding out and they're, like, not done yet, then, like, you're going to get more. Yeah.
Oh, my God. Yeah. So Madison's just like, I'm not going to do it. And Myrtle's like, well, if you don't do it, you don't deserve to be the Supreme. And then Madison's like, fuck it, I'm out then. Bye. And like, she is a terrible, awful bitch, but like, she's not wrong. Like, you don't have to deserve being the Supreme to be the Supreme. Right. Fiona is like a prime example of that. Like, you don't have to deserve it.
Yeah, from what we can tell, being the Supreme is like having red hair, not like being elected mayor, you know?
Right.
Yeah. Like, it kind of just happens to you. And some people think it's like really cool, but like, overall, like, your quality of life doesn't change that much from the other witches, it seems. Unless you're Fiona specifically. But yeah, like, she's technically right. Like, you don't have to deserve being the Supreme. Fiona's a great example of that. And then it cuts to a scene where Delia and Myrtle are like upset because nobody would revive Zoe. And then they're like, well, who's our remaining people? It's just Madison and Queenie, right? But they like kind of write off Queenie as though she failed the last test. And I'm like, she didn't fail the last test. She's done Vitalum Vitalis, just not right here. I don't know why she couldn't bring back Zoe. But she did. She's done it. She did it to Misty yesterday. So I don't know why she's being written off. Because like Queenie would be a fine Supreme. I don't know why they write her off as being.
Do you think they've all like forgotten Misty already? Is that part of what happens when you get Thanos snapped? Is people just forget you existed? Maybe that's it. Because it is insane otherwise. Because Queenie would just be like, I did revive. Misty was in a tomb. Myrtle, you were there with me.
No, they just like don't.
Or Cordelia, sorry, Delia was there, because Delia gave the whole where other people see walls, we see doors or whatever.
Right, yeah.
That speech, yeah.
Yeah. And so they're like, well, this sucks. All of our choices suck so bad. Maybe it would be better if the witches just died out, actually. And I'm like, that is such like that. The fact that the two quote unquote like authority figures are saying this is like the most like did a dog shit job at raising a child and then got mad that like they weren't socialized correctly or weren't like educated.
Maybe like, there shouldn't be. If we can't make a coven, then there shouldn't be covens.
Yeah, we tried precisely nothing and it didn't work. Maybe we just shouldn't
it's
have
impossible.
Witches.
It's impossible.
Yeah, it's impossible. Yeah. Elsewhere, I know what you all have been aching to know. Kyle's
pretty
upset.
How does our funny little butler boy feel? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Kyle is devastated that nobody could bring back Zoe. Honestly, he's probably just fucking confused. I would be too. If like everybody around me was dying and getting revived, including myself, and then suddenly everyone's like, nope, can't do it. I would be pissed too. I'd be like, hey, wait, why? wait a second.
And even that aside, like, when Zoe skewered herself on the fence, it was like there was stuff above her and below her. So, like, how did they get her off the fence? Did they teleport her back off? Can you do that? Like, there's so many questions.
It's also yeah. in broad daylight. I brought it up last time, but it just bears repeating. Like, nobody sees
in New Orleans!
Not woods. It's a big city.
On a main street, by the way. Like, the fence is on a main street.
The famous jazz street where the jazz man loved to walk. Yeah.
Anyway, nobody. Yeah, Kyle don't think is about sad. That. Don't think about he that too it. Hard. Yeah. Again, I kind of yeah. get it. Like, I don't get a lot of stuff about Kyle, but like, I get it because I would be confused and angry too.
Especially if you know Madison can do it, and you're like, "Hey, Madison, are you being kind of a bitch about this?" Like, that would, if that's the first question in the relationship, right?
Yeah. And then
is this about our terrible polyamory? Is this about our non-ethical non-monogamy?
Yeah, extremely non-ethical. And in some cases non-consensual. However, Myrtle has a sudden idea and she's like, "Hey Delia, our other options suck. What if you were the next Supreme?" And Delia's like, "That doesn't make any sense. It's got to be Madison." And Myrtle's like, "You got me there." And now it's time for the next bunch of tests. However, they have now started to consider that Delia should try, at least, maybe, because the other options suck shit.
Yeah. Also, the thing is, if you're the Supreme, you just, like, heal up instantly, right? You're like a fountain of health. So yeah. About those eyes. Yeah, about those eyes. Yeah. Oh, well.
Yeah. Also, you know, like, I don't know, having any of the other powers ever. The sight, in case you're wondering, the sight is not and has never been a seven wonder, and no one else has it. It's like the demon coochie. Only one person has it.
It's a little bit above the demon coochie, I think, right? Like, in terms of the tier list, that's demon coochie's maybe the part of the iceberg that's, like, really at the
bottom. I don't know, man. The sight seems pretty dog shit. Like, every time it's, like, information that's not useful, it's, like, specifically the wrong information. It's like, "My husband's cheating on me," but not the parts where he's like the son of the head of a witch hunting foundation who is specifically here to murder me and Thomas Kincaid enthusiasts alike. Yeah. Like, that part gets left out.
Yeah, the site is very, very much so chaos magic, where like sometimes it's going to be great and sometimes it's going to make everything so much worse. Like, so much worse.
Yeah, sometimes you'll be hanging out with your friends and you'll, like, touch your mom on the shoulder and then black out for 6 minutes and wake up and be like, "My mom's gonna kill all of us," which isn't, like, super great.
And then it turns out it's not even true. At least you're like,
"Well, if I need someone dead, I have a way."
Yeah.
Yeah, but also, like, you have a way and it, like, leaves so much, it leaves the most DNA possible. It's not easy to, like, pull off, per se. I guess it kind of is.
Well, I mean, what are they going to do? Like, "Oh, yeah, he died of, like, weird black tentacles springing from his veins. Did you do that?"
Fair.
Because, like, there's no, like, poison in their system or anything. She's technically gotten away with 2 murders already. Zoe has. Yeah.
All right,
you can
so
use
they're
it
2 of the 7 blunders. We've got that, I think.
Yeah. They're the, like, the bad guys.
Maybe there should be 9 wonders is what we're really getting to.
And what's, like, extra, like, awful is, like, the only characters that don't have their own, like, special power are Madison and Nan, because everybody's supposed to have mind reading, I think. And Madison doesn't have any of those. Queenie has, like, objectively, I think, the coolest secondary power that no one else
she's
has.
A shield maiden.
Yeah. Like, I feel like that makes her better than everybody else. Because, like, even Misty didn't have any. She was, like, extra good at Vitalin Vitalis.
The biggest problem with Queenie's thing is, like, I think it's, like, weirdly situational, and if only there was some way she could, like, cultivate it in a learning environment where she would, like, really learn how her power works and understand it, it'd be totally broken. Yeah.
Yeah, but alas, there's no schools for witches. If only there was. Nope. That would be crazy.
There's only this house. There's a house with an angry lady in it named Madison here to cause problems.
So they've decided that now the running is between Madison, Queenie, and Delia, because Delia has decided to try, because the other two options, I guess, are bad. I don't know why Queenie's a bad option, but they've decided Queenie's not a good option.
Also, she's back in the running.
Yeah, she's also back in the running now, I guess, because they realized she can, in fact, do Vitala Vitalis. She just couldn't do it on command. I don't know. It's they don't care. They don't care. I think they honestly shot these in like a different order and then they just edited it together in this weird way.
Honestly. Yeah.
Now it's time for pyrokinesis. They do it. All of them.
Yeah, they just kind of are like, candles are on fire now. Nice. Moving on.
Yeah, they speed through this one, right? Now, let's cut to the chase here, everybody. Come on.
Yeah, so Delia has pyrokinesis. She also lights the candles and then also lights the fireplace. And is like, teehee, I can do pyrokinesis now.
If you're going to have fun with CGI budget, have one of the people be really good at pyrokinesis. Fire looks awesome. And there's so much good CG fire in the world.
I don't know why they didn't do this first. It's very confusing from an editorial point of view. But, like, they decide that they have to retroactively make Delia do the other ones that they haven't done yet. And I'm like, shouldn't we have done that before we let her try pyrokinesis? Just to make sure she should even, like, be trying the other ones? Whatever. They decide that she needs to do them now. She makes Queenie, like, dance, which is weird and fucked up.
Yeah, right.
All of Delia's tests are like, the way she does them is like weird and off-putting. She like levitates a piano, so she has telekinesis. Madison's like, oh, holy shit. Delia goes to hell and I guess makes it back. She says that like she's trying to
her
get
hell
like,
is so mid.
Yeah, it's real so bad. Mid. It's well, I mean, it's not as bad as Zoe's, but like it's still pretty bad. She's like, oh, yeah, I was trying to get my mother's approval, and I couldn't. And I'm like, that was just, like, real life. You just did that in real life. That was your real life. and then she teleports, so she can do all the things, which raises the question, Delia, you're the, like, the one who's been running this house, and you're the daughter of the Supreme. Did you just, like, never try any of the other spells until, like, this second?
There was no one here who could teach someone how to try these things or how to do them or like the concepts behind them. Now, she was the headmaster and should have hired a teacher. So is this technically her fault? Yes. Do I have any follow-ups on this? No. No.
Yeah. Like, I don't know. If I was in a witch house and, like, other people were manifesting powers or I knew that, like, my mother had all the powers, I think I'd, like, try. I think I'd check to see if I had telekinesis or like pyrokinesis or something.
Had a night where I was just having a little trouble falling asleep. I might try and throw a little Hadouken. Just check.
And I guess she just didn't ever because she can do all the spells. Turns out she just didn't and had never tried before. She was just all in on the sight. She was like, it's the sight or nothing. It's nerf or nothing for me, brother. And blinded herself to give herself the sight, which is a objectively bad power to have. Also, she like did botany, I guess, which is not one of the seven wonders. It's just a thing that regular people can do.
That's just a field. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a thing that people who don't know magic can also do. But she treats it like it's a spell and does it all the time. Now we got to do divination. Now that we're all caught up and Delia can do all of the spells also, we got to do divination, which is they've got to like find items from the previous Supremes hidden around the house. They're like, oh, you've got to find so-and-so's item. She was the fourth Supreme. I'm not going to tell you what it is. You have to find it. And then Delia dumps a bunch of rocks on the table and she picks one out and she's like, it's this item and it's in this room. Go get it. Queenie does, and it's right, so I guess Delia knows divination. Madison makes a kind of funny joke about the test being in Braille because of the rocks, and low-key, kind of a sleeper accessibility joke, because that is kind of funny because it is Braille and she is blind. Mm-hmm. Good on the witches, I think, for having an accessible test for the Seven Wonders in case it's a blind person. I don't know that they did it on purpose, but pretty funny. Madison cannot speak to the rocks, and this is the one that she fails. She fails divination. She tries multiple different times to do it and just can't. She just keeps like beefing it over and over again.
Can't do the Dalai Lama check. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Can't tell which one is the Dalai Lama's clock or whatever. Yeah.
And she's like, fuck this. I'm out of here. And I'm going to expose everybody in the coven to, I guess, the world. And they're going to come here and they're going to honk at you, which, spoiler alert, we're going to find out in about 10 minutes that
no,
that's not what
there's
happens.
Nothing worse. There's nothing worse you could do than take the information of the witches and make it public. If you were to go on the news as a public figure and talk about the fact that this school exists, that would be the worst thing you could possibly do, Madison. No.
Yeah, but no one tries to like stop her or anything. They're just like, oh, well, we'll see how that goes, I guess. nobody thinks this might be a good time to try the mind control portion of the test and maybe be like, someone mind wipe Madison so she doesn't do this. They just let her go. It's fine. She's gone. And she's going upstairs. Yeah, Spalding. she goes to like pack her bags and she's like super tilted, and Kyle comes in and he's very upset that she didn't revive Zoe, and I'm like, Kyle, I get it. You're confused. I am too. Maybe you should maybe asking Delia or someone else to try, I'm thinking. He's real mad that specifically Madison
didn't do
it.
I think Kyle has made
it.
The decision of you actively avoiding reviving her is equivalent to killing her, and has made that decision in his heart. I respect it. I think he's decided you killing my wife.
But like, at the same time, technically Queenie did it too, and then just didn't do it on Zoe. So why isn't he mad at Queenie?
Queenie was just having a bad day. And Queenie also, just like could.
They treat it Queenie like tried. It's like they treat it like it's so final. I'm like, by the end of this, you're gonna know someone else has Vitalum Vitalis. So like, just have a different person try on a different day. Madison was dead for like a month. Like,
yeah, I think that's the big thing, is there being like, there's not really a clock on this, which is really the big problem. Because even in other media with like super powerful witches that, you know, die and leave hell and go to hell and all that, like Bayonetta, they put a clock on it where if you're in a bad situation too long, it's over. This show does that. That's why Misty Day isn't here, which is why it's even stranger that they're just like, yeah, you can be dead for a month and we'll bring you back. That's fine. Oh, in Papa Legba Hell, 6 minutes.
Right. 6 minutes or until one of us sneezes. Like, we don't really care. The rules are pretty fast and loose, it turns out. So yeah, Kyle decides that specifically this is Madison's fault, that Zoe is dead and can't be brought back, ? To be determined, also, actually. And then Kyle chokes Madison to death. Madison does not use any magic abilities to fight him off for some reason.
I want to be a good person and build bridges. Sorry, just wanted to interject over the Kyle choking a woman to death.
Yeah.
Hey, everybody, I have a dream. I'm going to be a fancy engineer man and build a good bridge and not sexually assault a movie star. Like, that's this character.
I am going to murder that movie star, though. That movie star
I
that
murder
I know.
Later.
Yeah.
Which really conflates the message. Messaging, I guess.
Because it's not like this is a random person either. Like, he knows Madison is the person that his friends assaulted. Like, really selling
you
me.
You know, I didn't make that connection till just now. That makes it extra bad, huh? Yeah. That really muddles Kyle on the whole.
Yeah. I didn't either. Yeah, that's pretty bad.
Yeah, like, bad. That's how Kyle died, was him actively trying to stop his friends after he knows that they all, like, collaborated to assault Madison as a group. He's decided he needs to murder Madison in cold blood now, and she's decided that she doesn't know any of her spells anymore, and dies. She like kind of like pleads for her life, and he doesn't care and just kills her.
I loved you. I did this for you so we could be together. Did I mention that you were, yeah? And then he's like, I don't care.
Yeah.
Love Zoe.
And, not even, I don't know, 30 seconds after he kills her for not reviving Zoe and Zoe being gone forever, Delia just brings Zoe back. It's fine. This is awkward now because now he's murdered Madison. And now Zoe's back, so that's going to be weird. Anyways, Spaulding's here, and he's like, ah, sick. I'm going to brush Madison's hair with a doll hand, because I want everyone to remember that I'm a weird doll guy. I've decided I'm not going to use her body as a doll this time. Also, I have a baby, but it's not here. Remember, I have a live human baby that I stole from Marie, who also stole it.
Yeah.
But yeah. It's not here right now, and we'll never mention it again. So don't worry about it. I'm going to bury Madison's body for some reason. I have no reason to do this.
Liz, because Madison was going to expose the secret of the coven to the whole world. She was going to use her movie star platform to go on the news and tell the world that witches are real and here's where they're located. And here's a pamphlet, and here's our slogan. So they had to make sure they buried her.
Bitch.
They couldn't let the secret go out. Yeah, yeah. It was the worst thing that could possibly happen.
Mm-hmm. Seriously.
It's worse than Fiona. Like, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Man, yep. Kyle really saved the place, huh?
Really, yep. The watchdog. No kidding. Yeah, really the watchdog of the... he didn't even know she was going to do that. So, like, him doing it is just a convenience, actually.
Just instinct.
Yeah, instinct. He just knew.
Killer instinct, so to speak. Pardon the pun, but that's a good watchdog, baby.
Yeah,
he just knew.
So, and Spaulding like has a weird interaction with Kyle, where Kyle's like, "Hey, who the fuck are you, man?" And Spaulding just goes, "The help," like as in Kyle's supposed to like internalize, like, "I am also the help. I'm the next generation. I'm looking at me in 40 years, I guess." It's the, like, I don't know what they're trying to sell here. I can see based on the notes, whoever wrote these notes also is unclear what they're trying to get
me.
At.
That colors me. That.
Okay. Yeah. Because I agree. I don't know what they... like, they were trying to be like, "You're looking at yourself in the future." But, like... no, he's not.
Yeah. Here's where your baby dolls could go. Like, what?
What a fucking bad watchdog that he lets this weird wiry haired man with a baby doll hand just like appear and then start like touching a corpse. Like, he doesn't know this man. This could be a homeless man who's lying for all Kyle knows. And he's just like, yeah, this is fine. I'm going to let this weird man I've never seen before a moment in my life take one of the bodies of the girls I'm supposed to protect that I killed. I think this is good. I trust him implicitly. I think he's going to do good here.
You're lucky I'm grieving my love of my life, who I barely spend any time with, etc., you know, pal. But get out of here.
Yeah.
Well, the good news is... we don't have to worry about the world getting news of the witches. So I think we just hard cut back to Delia, and they've decided the mystery's over and she has eyes now.
Yeah. You know, by the way, I don't know if I should bring this up. I'll just bring it up. This little hypothetical thing, because what's really good about, even just logistically from... God forbid a world where the witches were publicized, is that American Horror Story, the series, has this shared universe, which means that every season onwards would be in a world where magic existed and was public. But, you know, I don't even know why I brought that up. What are we talking about again? I'm sorry. Yeah, Delia's got her eyes back for no reason. What the fuck? Anyway.
Yeah, so did she heal them or something? Because, like...
when you become the Supreme, you're overflowing with health and
good
healing,
health.
Which I guess means you get new fucking eyes.
Yeah.
So it's like, how does that work?
Except,
she already got new fucking eyes, and then she got rid of those fucking eyes.
Yeah.
So they're someone else's eyes
again,
but they're her eyes this time, I swear.
Also, the implication is that means that the Supreme can, like, heal themselves from grievous, like, harm or whatever, or, like, irreversible, like, damage. So why was Madison not in the running at the beginning when she had a heart murmur? If she was really the Supreme, she could have just undone the heart murmur, according to this. Like,
because she's not the Supreme, right?
Well, now, but like...
now we know.
But like, if that was
the
case before, why did it disqualify her before?
Yeah.
If Delia can just like undo it.
She can't be. She had a heart murmur, so she can't be. But yeah, apparently if you become the Supreme, you just stop having a heart murmur. You get like more of like a heart yell. It just gets really strong.
But not like, but yeah, that we didn't really. That totally collides with the whole like you're like anointed the Supreme versus the contest thing, right? Because like then it's like, That, because then that criteria makes no sense if you have to, like, earn the Supreme title or, like, perform the seven. You know what I mean? Like, because then it's like, well, if you're not in perfect health, then you wouldn't even have to do this test because we know for a fact you're not. But it's like, oh, no, wait, sorry. You can also become the Supreme and then become the font of perfect health after the fact.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
All right. Okay.
Anyway, okay, all that to say, so Delia's the Supreme.
Yeah.
That's kind of where it ends. I don't
Congratulations, everyone.
Yeah.
We landed on the most boring result possible. We did it. You had all these wonderful bad choices, and you somehow chose a white wall. Congratulations. Cordelia is the Supreme.
Here,
yeah,
here.
This also makes the least amount of sense. Also, I'm not sure when Queenie got disqualified again. She just did, I guess. They just were like, Delia's doing such a good job of doing all the powers now that it's over, and it's Delia's it. We've decided.
Take easy,
and,
Queenie.
Walter Eyes just came back. I think everyone was like, oh, okay, yeah, that's her. Definitely that.
Mm-hmm. So as the new Supreme, she does... I would assume she would be like, oh, hell yeah, I've been the headmaster of this school, doing a great job of providing a safe place for witches to come and not be found out by the general public and be put at risk from the public hunting them down or potentially doing something bad. In fact, when Madison said that she was going to expose this, that was like a big deal. That was a problem. So surely Delia's first act as the Supreme would be using her newfound abilities to make sure that Miss Robichaud's house is a absolute fortress of solitude and like a protection area for the girls that keep them from harm and the public
especially
eye.
Considering she's like she's very like meek, and that was like kind of her characteristic trait when played against her mother, was her mother was very like out there in public and just, you know, private in some senses, but also very much not in the like going out and doing things and being loud and all that. So yeah, it would make sense that she would like internalize a lot more.
Yeah. So what would you think that her first action would be? Like specifically, what do you think the first thing she would do would be?
Find an interview with Barbara Walters and say everything about the witches publicly. Say it's all real. Here's my address. If you think you might have powers or something, come to my house.
Mental illness.
Here's my house.
If you're mentally ill and maybe think you have powers, you should also show up.
Yeah, there's no vetting or anything. Just like, do you think so? Got it. Come on over.
You see bugs all the time? Come on in.
Don't send us like a YouTube video of you shooting a fireball or something. Just come the fuck down here, baby. We love it. That's definitely what she would do for sure. That makes the most sense.
It worked really great for like Haley or whatever her name was, right? You know, she came by. Yeah, perfect.
Yeah,
why wouldn't we? We've had a perfect track record here at Miss Robichaud's Academy of Death.
She doesn't mention that in the Barbara Walters interview, but like she does say, like, hey, yeah, no, we're women and we do magic, and if you're a woman who does magic, you should come here because that means you're a witch. And I'm like, this is wild because they are just pretending that like paganism in general does not exist in this universe. Because I'm like, there are people in real life who do this. Like, it's not like a Sabrina the Teenage Witch situation.
Like, it feels like they're trying to like positive dog whistle for LGBT groups, but it like makes no sense here.
It
makes no sense in context. Like, it's supposed to be like girl power, ladies, come on down here, we have each other's backs, you're not alone anymore. But it's like, except you're witches with spells, it's not the same. It's the whole you can't have X-Men be one-to-one thing with racism because they have powers, so it's different.
Yeah. Also, the other thing is like what I'm trying to get at with like the paganism being real is like they would not give this woman a Barbara Walters interview because this is just like someone, this is like a preacher at a church being like, we believe in God, if you believe in God come to our church, there's no other place on earth where you can also believe in God. Like, no, that's everywhere people do this. They wouldn't give her a Barbara Walters interview. Like, this is just a lady who does paganism.
Unless she, like, performed magic for them off camera, maybe they were supposed to believe that because we're just kind of hightailing it to the ending
now.
Now
she's David Blaine. That's not special either. Yeah. Anyway, they treat it like no one's ever done or will do magic ever in real life. So, like, she gets, like, a nationwide interview and a bajillion people show up at Miss Robichaud's house, and I do mean like a bajillion people. Like it is an it looks like an iPhone release line
down the block type thing. Yeah, and it's like, yeah, you said, hey, teenage people, if you either have a light mental illness or think you have magic powers or are just like lonely and confused, come to my house down in New Orleans. So there's an infinite amount of confused teens at her doorstep, which is like, yeah, that's going to happen.
Yeah.
Also, you will not know death anymore. Maybe. Depends.
Mm-hmm. And... we definitely do not have the resources nor the like space to house all of you. And we don't teach classes here or anything, by the way. In fact, there's really kind of not a point to our establishment now because everybody knows about witches, so we don't need this place anymore.
Also,
honestly,
really
it would be better
ghost.
If we had like a
sorry.
Like a good online like a bulletin board would be good, like a forum.
A forum, yeah. Like, like a subreddit. Cool. Maybe we start a subreddit.
Wiki
yeah. Yeah, that would honestly be more helpful than Miss Robichaud's house has been. And I know
seriously.
What a lot of you are thinking, like, oh, is this how it ends? No, we still have quite a bit of episode left. So Delia is the Supreme. She does their interview. Afterwards, she's like setting up her bedroom or something. And Myrtle comes in and is like, hey, you're the Supreme now. And you're going to be a great Supreme. Can you execute me for killing witches? because I did do that. I don't know if you remember, but I did do that. And I think that we should be following that rule again. And Delia's like, no? I make the rules, I guess.
Nice thing about usurping a power structure is we now get to change a couple rules before anybody notices. That's how this whole overthrow thing works, is we get to do that. We get to say, like, you know what? Little homie gets a pass.
Yeah.
she's allowed to do a couple. It was in the service of the greater good. And everyone just goes, all right. But no, Myrtle's like, I need you to fucking burn me or else no one will believe you're serious about this. Everyone will think you're distinctly unserious. And Delia's like, no, I'm not going to do that. That's insane. And Myrtle goes, nope. And then it hard cuts to them walking Myrtle out to the stake.
Yeah.
And also, so the most fucked thing about this is, like, this was clearly supposed to be more impactful, but they did it twice, and I feel like that had to have been, like, a writing mistake or something, because they visually shorthand this scene, referencing the earlier version of this scene, to make it, like, even less impactful. Like, they have the same walkout sequence, and they just show you, like, a third as much of the footage, and it's like, oh, doing this again.
Yeah. Remember when we did this to the same character before, like this exact thing for the exact same thing? Yeah. And it didn't matter then because she was immediately revived. Well, this time she's not going to be for some reason. So this time it's important. The rules of this universe are important and you have to take them seriously. Yeah, it's like, okay, well, glad we got another one of these scenes of Myrtle being burned at the stake. And they try to make this one more dramatic, and, like, her last word is Balenciaga, and she gets set on fire. And boo. And then the fire special effects are still ass. I don't know why they did it twice. Super bad. Sarah Paulson is very pretty in this scene, is the only good takeaway. She's beautiful in this scene. That's the only redeeming quality of it. They make her, like, extra hot for the rest of the show. Like, when you become the Supreme, you get extra hot, I think, is the final cherry on becoming the Supreme.
You go from, like, the middle-age makeup to, like, the young makeup. They're like, yeah, get in here.
They give you, like, the full face beat and do your hair when you're the Supreme.
Also,
and she's banging.
So am I, does Balenciaga mean anything other than a brand?
No.
Or was
she's
it
into fashion.
Just...
It's like saying Prada,
okay.
You know what I mean? Like, my favorite, you know what I mean? Yeah.
Oh, yeah, my famous last words, Armani.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
That's so...
It's pretty bad.
That's so dumb, dude.
Yeah,
that is so stupid. Like, at least, like, hit me with a fat, like, I'm a no on the way out or something. Like, really? Versace? That's it? I mean, at least if you said, like, Gucci, that'd be kind of funny on the way out.
Yeah. No, they make her holler Balenciaga, and it's bad. Then it cuts back to the house where 95 million baby witches, allegedly, a bunch of goths, a bunch of goth teens are outside of Miss Robichaud's, and they're all piling in like it's the iPhone release.
In the middle of summer, and none of these kids are dressed to be summer goths either. I feel so bad for them. Not a parasol in sight.
Also, I would like to reiterate that during her like call to action on her interview, she never said like dress like a goth. So the implication here is that all people who think they're a witch are a goth. Like, that's it. Like, if you think you're a witch, you're a goth. Like, period. There's no non-overlap in those two circles. The Venn diagram is
all,
a circle.
All squares are rectangles, you know?
And Misty was a special little freak witch who dressed like a swamp.
She was a swamp goth. She just wasn't sad yet.
Delia like is sitting on the stairwell with Queenie and Zoe, and she's like, Queenie and Zoe, you see these 55 million people in our house now? You're the council.
Figure it out.
Yeah, you're the council, and you have to go deal with them. And they're like, what? And they're like, and I'm like, what? Like, these are two teenagers who have had no coaching whatsoever, and the only like qualifications they have is that they didn't fucking die during the Seven Wonders test. Great. That's the council now. Why do we even have a council now? Is that how the other council got like chosen? Because that makes sense. That would make a lot of sense. Because the other people weren't qualified.
A way more interesting overthrow. Like, honestly, like, this is like an uprising story. This would be an interesting thing of like, oh right, all we were good at was killing my mom. Yeah. We actually didn't do anything else good. Fuck.
I thought the council kind of implied that there were like other covens. You know? But
maybe.
But then like, wouldn't the other covens be pissed that like they all went public and everything?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Just making. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I kind of figured that was the answer.
Yeah. Like. Yeah. It's the whole thing. The council is perhaps the number one thing that if I was a writer on this show, I would have regretted putting in at any point, because the council begs so many questions and it does nothing other than for, I don't know, 10 minutes where like, oh, Fiona might have to face consequences for anything, until Fiona fucking walks in and goes, what's up, slap nuts, suck my ass, fuck you, and then just like flips them both the bird and walks out the room backwards, and they're like, yeah, we can't do anything to her. And it's like, well then why are you here? What are you here to do?
Yeah. Truly, it is not clear what their job is, like, at all. But now it's time for probably, I know a lot of this has been frustrating, probably the single most frustrating scene of the show. And I know what you're thinking. Like, Delia's already the supreme. Zoe died and then got brought back. Madison got killed by Kyle. Misty's in hell. How could it possibly be more infuriating and frustrating and confusing? Well, Delia has to go deal with something, she says, and then walks into the living room. And there's her mom. There's Fiona. She's there, and she's smoking a cigarette. And we get a flashback where Fiona Jedi mind tricks the Axeman into pretending or into killing her and then spitting in his mouth. And then he's like, no, let me suck it out of your mouth if you're going to use the mind control on me, because he's a real little freak. And she covers him in pig blood. She covers him. Okay, I cannot overstate. She covers him in goat or pig blood. I don't remember which one. And she says it, because Delia says something to the effect of, well, then whose blood was that? And she says, like, a goat or a pig or whatever. Mm-hmm. In that episode.
Didn't Delia have the sight?
Yeah, Delia touched that blood and was like, this is my mother's blood. So are you telling me that she touched pig blood or goat blood or whatever? And was like, yeah, this contains my mother's memories. This is real. This is my mother's blood. There's no way I could mistake this for someone else's.
And also, the memory/sight she had was also fake. Mm-hmm. So can Fiona she can plant a false memory into a guy. Sure. That I don't love it, but I'm okay with that. Like, sure, that's a Jedi mind trick thing. That's
and
a scary
done it.
Power
We've
to
seen
have
her
in
do
media.
It. She did it in episode one. We saw her do it.
Yeah, like, absolutely. Okay, so you can rewrite someone's memory. Sure, 100%. Can she implant memories into inanimate objects? Because that's what's being implied by this, is that the blood has false memories of her in the pig blood.
Mm-hmm. I can't figure out, too. Like, did they, like, back off of the ending? You know what I mean? Like, how could this even have, like... This is, like, such an obvious thing where, like, someone in the writing room...
Solid. They were like, no, you can't kill Fiona. We like her too much. Make her show up in a wheelchair smoking next to the grave.
Yeah. Because, like, also, like, this is, like, supposed to be a twist. Like, you think, like, they would have known that by the time they wrote the previous scene, you know?
Also, right? how does Delia have all the powers if her mom's not dead? Because that was like a big deal, that the Supreme had to die if the other Supreme became Supreme. And clearly, Delia is the Supreme because she's got her eyes back and she's like fine now. So how is Fiona still hanging on here? Like, how is she still here? She very has cancer. It's like she's not doing great, in case you're wondering. Like, she's right. Very, very has cancer. But, like, shouldn't be here at all.
She also has chemo somehow, which is a little more confusing. She has a lot of side effects of chemotherapy, which take, like, time to build. That's not, like, a thing that happens right now. Anyway, regardless.
Yeah, and then they have, like, a heart-to-heart where they're sitting there having a tense back and forth. And Delia's like, oh, were you always mean to me because you knew I would be the Supreme? And Fiona's like, yup. That's why I was always mean to you. Also, you reminded me that I was going to die. And I'm like, I think that's the opposite of that trope. Usually,
plays it up as a parent thing, too. Yeah. Like, very explicitly. She's like, the biggest mistake I ever had was becoming a parent. Because as soon as I had you, every time I looked at you, it reminded me I was going to die and my mortality. Which, yeah, Liz, what would you say? How would you say that is relative to reality?
Yeah, I would say most of the time, not only in reality, but in fiction also, many people throughout history, in case you've never heard of, like, I don't know, like an heir, or anything like that, or like, you know, kings that have historically really wanted a son to carry on their bloodline. Having children and procreating is frequently considered a tangible way to achieve immortality and protect your legacy. That's why many people historically have had children.
That's the only reason I did it.
No, yeah. Yeah. Somebody wanted to be immortal.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't think I'm sure there have been some fringe cases where someone was like unwell, but like most of the time, yeah.
There's been a lot of people who have had children in history. That's why we're still here. So like, yeah, there's definitely been one or two where it didn't go right, in the same way that happens at any level of that scale. Sure. Yeah.
Yeah, but to be like, for her to deliver this information, like, yeah, this is a known quantifiable thing. When you have a kid, it tells you you're going to die.
Everyone thinks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No. Remember when Delia thought she wanted a kid at the beginning of this? Remember when that was a plot point and that just didn't ever go anywhere? No? Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway.
Hit Hank with the ritual pussy?
Uh-huh, yeah. Like, and it worked, too, and then she just didn't have a kid. So who could say how Fiona managed
Hank
to have it happen?
God, Hank had such a cool one. He got to, like, fuck a witch and then, like, be Joan Wick for
a
bit.
He got to fuck two witches.
God, based.
Oh, yeah, shit.
Yeah, he got to fuck two different kinds of witches and only had to kill one of them. He was supposed to kill both of them, but he was only successful at one of them.
He really liked one of them, yeah.
Yeah.
Once you get witchussy, right? Yeah.
Yeah, once you get the witchussy.
Yep. Unless, hold on. That's also one of the seven blunders, so be careful, right?
Not Zoe's. It's a really Russian roulette situation when you get the witchussy.
Good witchussy or bad? You know what? Don't even worry about it.
And don't even get me started on bog witch pussy. That's a whole different season.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. And apparently it's the best.
Yeah. So Fiona's, like, crying. And she's like, I always loved my daughter and I always loved you, but it's your fault for expecting me to be a good mother. And I'm like, this sucks because like this, first of all, both actresses are really good in this scene, which is another reason why it sucks. And like they do a really great job of showing what a narcissistic mother is like, because basically Fiona's like, I was a dog shit mother, but it's your fault for expecting me to be a good mother. And I'm like, wow, that's really poignant. And both actresses do a really good job of portraying this dynamic. Really wish it wasn't tacked on to this wet fart of a twist ending that they've shoehorned into the last 3 minutes of this episode that doesn't make any sense and does not add anything to the show at all. Wish this would have been a dynamic they explored more and it would have been relevant.
I think they realized if the ending they had originally given Fiona was Fiona's ending, they would have never heard the end of it. Like, yeah. Truly.
But this is, I would argue this is worse.
Oh, it is. It is, for sure. But I think it would get less Reddit posts. Yeah.
And then, like, then Fiona dies. Or is dying. And she's like, I'm dying tonight, probably. And I'm like, what is the takeaway we're supposed to take away from this? That, like, Fiona just wanted to live long enough to see Delia become the Supreme, so she, like, pretended to die? Because that doesn't make any fucking sense based on literally everything else we've seen up until now.
What I think it's supposed to be is this is Cordelia's chance to overcome Fiona and move on, or else there would be, like, you know, a somewhat iffy hanging story of, like, yeah, sure, Cordelia's the Supreme, but she never really, you know, dealt with the stuff with Fiona. It was just like a weird off-screen handling, and that's gonna chew at her for the rest of her life or whatever. Mm-hmm. Which would be an interesting character trait and an interesting story to revisit in the future in like a very complex dynamic. But for the ending of American Horror Story, it needs to be more like, and then she stood up and clapped, and that lady's name was Albert Einstein. Like, yeah. They need one of those endings. Of, like, she owns the libs, as it were.
More so mean. I'm not even asking what the takeaway is, like, what they wanted from us, because that's almost certainly what they wanted from us. I want to know think we thought Fiona's plan was. To, like, pretend her own death. Like, what was that? Like, what are we supposed to think Fiona was trying to accomplish by faking her death?
My mistake.
Because, like, the takeaway that is implied here is that she was, like, pretending to die so that Delia would, like, realize she was the Supreme and come back. And then come back and be like, I always knew you would be the Supreme. I just wanted to check. Like,
but that's not
at all what
Fiona...
But that
wasn't the catalyst.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, the problem is that's not the catalyst that... Yeah, A, Fiona never wanted that. B, that wasn't the catalyst for Cordelia becoming the Supreme. The catalyst was Madison fucking sucks.
Yeah.
And I don't want Madison to be important. That was it.
Like, if Myrtle had never even suggested that Delia might be the Supreme, I don't think Delia would have even tried. Even with Fiona being gone, I don't think she would have tried. And I think they would have been like, well, guess we don't have a Supreme.
Guess we don't have a coven anymore. We were right.
Oops.
I guess Fiona's still alive out there somewhere.
Yeah, crazy.
Would be the takeaway, I think. Yeah, how about that?
And then she would have died, I guess, because she's about to. And then someone would have been like, well, guess we'll never know.
Oh my god. And like, this is how incompetent Hank is though too, because like, he didn't even have to do anything to kill all of them, right? Like, they just kind of would have done it to themselves. Wow.
Yeah.
Anyway,
I feel like that's not Hank's fault. That's Delphi Corps. Goes on, I realize Hank is just a victim of circumstance, truly.
I think you're right, actually. Yeah, truthfully.
Yeah, and so Fiona dies. And Delia is, as she is dying, like, Delia's, like, watching it happen, and Delia, like, starts crying, and Fiona says, no, no, don't cry for me, and Delia's like, I'm not fucking crying for you, I'm crying because I'm realizing that I lost my whole childhood because of my fucking narcissist mother, and I'm like, this would have been way better 8 episodes ago, but here we are,
yeah.
And then Fiona just kicks it, which is almost as bad as the fake death we had last episode. The cancer just takes her and she just dies. And now, confusingly, we get to see Fiona in her hell, which, A, why is she there? Because we've shown that you don't go to hell when you die. You just don't have anything. And then you gotta like descend some to go to this hell.
Or make a bad deal.
How?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It would have been so good, though, if it turned out Myrtle sent her. Wouldn't it have? Just as like a final, like, hey, I descended him to you or whatever, you know. But, you know, that's fine. Who cares? We had this twist instead. It's just as good. It's fine.
Yeah, they wanted us to see Fiona went to hell for some reason, even though no other characters have been sent to hell for dying. In fact, we've had several characters confirm that no matter how bad of a person you are, you don't go to hell. There's just nothing afterwards. And the only way to go to hell is to descend some. So I guess another implication could be that she descensomed right before she died and was like, fuck it, I'm going anyway. But that means she sent herself to hell, which means she doesn't get to be mad about it.
I don't know, because also the one Kathy Bates' character, who I'm blanking on the name, Madame Delphine or whatever.
Well, her and Marie
she went
there.
To Papa Legba hell.
Her and Marie went there, and Papa Legba specifically said, it's because they're immortal.
Oh, okay, and because she got forced the immortality, so she also got dragged to hell.
They didn't actually die, okay, they got trapped in hell because they are immortal. He specifically says that, so it makes even less sense that...
Yeah, you're right.
That Fiona's in hell.
Hold on. wait.
And I know what you're thinking. Her hell is probably something like she's like ugly and like doesn't have any power and like she's at the behest of everyone around her. No.
People treat her like dirt, all that. No, she gets kind of like a nice home that I wouldn't mind retiring to in my 50s.
with the Axeman, who up until one episode ago she genuinely liked and liked spending time with
and like
enjoyed being around.
Had her whole view of the world turning around because of was like becoming a more positive person in general.
And like even at one point, like in episode 3, she said something to the effect of the last thing that I want in my life is one last great love affair. And then she got it with the Axeman, and she had a good time with the Axeman up until one episode ago. And she apparently wasn't even having a bad time with the Axeman then. She just needed him to do a heist of some variety with pig blood or whatever.
By the way, she did mention earlier when she was talking to Delia, like in passing, of just like, oh, I knew you'd take care of him for me. And it's like, what do you mean take care of? You liked him. What the fuck?
Yeah, like, was this the biggest gambit of all time that you happened to find the ghost who had watched you since you were a child in the house and liked him?
Now would be a good time to reveal that, now that we're in hell. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But, you know, we've already done that.
The hypothetical, like, retiring together that the Axeman has been proposing this whole time with the trickies, that was her idea of hell, I guess? Yes,
skibbity-bop-bop-bop, Jinrikis. Jinrikis catching a big old catfish, slap it on down. Hey, buddy.
Yeah, so her hell is just having to live in the little farmhouse he wanted to live in with her, and like him
like
being
nice. She wakes
nice.
Up, and it's like a beautiful sleepy morning. She's waking up late, rolling out of bed in a cozy little cabin, and then immediately starts being like, "Oh, I hate the wood they use for the walls here." It's like, holy shit, skill issue, lady. Fuck me. Like she would have been in hell no matter where they put her. I think that's the real takeaway. Yeah. Is Fiona's hell is having to live with Fiona.
You'll never
That's
happy.
Really what it is.
YouTube.
Yeah.
But yeah, like literally, like Axeman's just like, it's not even like a fucked up version of the Axeman where he's like not the same guy. He's just the same guy.
Like he comes home and he's like, hey honey, I'm home and I got a big catch for today. So we can have a great big lunch. It's gonna be great. How are you doing? And she's just like, oh my god, I'd rather die. And he's like, Hey, what's up? You do this every morning. You wake up and you like act like you hate this, but everything historically leading up to this implies that you would love this. So like what's the deal? And she goes, I'd rather die. It's like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
I'm
and
getting
then
mixed
he's like,
signals here, Fiona.
Yeah. And he's like, well, you don't have magic powers anymore, so now I'm going to push you around and tell you to suck it up. And I'm like, so this means that like he's been conscripted by Papa Legba, because spoiler alert, Papa Legba's here. And he's like, hee-hee, I put you in this hell. That means that like this is the real Axeman, which I guess ghosts can go to Papa Legba hell too, evidently. And that's where he is. He's been conscripted into the community theater hell, as Ty put it. But, like, this isn't hell for the Axeman. This is, like, great for him. He loves this. This is, like, his ideal. Like, he got the GG. He got, like, the good ending.
Like, at worst, it's, like, a 50 first date scenario of, like, it's a little annoying having to reintroduce myself to my wife every morning. But, like, it's pretty cool still, otherwise,
As far as hell goes, right? You made out pretty good.
Yeah.
I mean, hey, one morning maybe I'll introduce myself as a marine biologist and we can go to an ocean adventure. It could be fun.
Yeah.
Who knows? Yeah.
I mean, what else? Otherwise, you were just going to not be existing anymore because you got stabbed as a ghost. And I assume that makes you just check notes not exist.
Why was
I don't know.
He stabbable? But why was he stabbable?
I don't know. But apparently it sent him to Papa Legbahel, which, like, but Papa Legba, like, has no affiliation with Fiona, so I don't know why.
He showed up, was like, literally, here's their full interaction. Let me just replay it for anyone in the audience who has forgotten. Fiona said, oh, cool, I can talk to Papa Legba to become immortal. Great, let me do that summoning ritual. So she put out some cocaine. Papa Legba showed up, went, damn, that's good cocaine. Do you want to live forever? And she goes, yeah. And he goes, great, I can't, though, because you don't have a soul. Bye. That's it. That's the completion of their interaction. That's all they've done. So, like, apparently if you give this guy good cocaine, you're fucked.
Which but not Queenie,
not
though.
A great bargain.
Queenie was fine. Yeah. She got out of hell. Like, Queenie was okay when she did it. So who really knows, honestly? I think he just does it arbitrarily. The implication here, since he's doing it, is that Papa Legba is just the devil, parentheses, actual, like, the only one. We know that's not true because the Christian devil is a character and will be present in multiple other seasons. But they're treating Papa Legba like he's just like Satan, parentheses, real. And he controls all of the hells.
I think it's like Marvel where you have like Asgard, you know what I mean? Like Norse gods and just what the hell? You know what I mean? Like we got other stuff too. Don't worry about it. You know, like don't think too hard because we didn't either. American Horror Story says.
If I die in New Orleans with like a bunch of cocaine in my pockets, do you think I'll like be able to get like a cool bargain? Do you think I can get like a pretty cool hell?
Maybe. You got to say Papa Legba before you die though.
Yeah, maybe the
I need to find someone who's really annoyed by me hanging out and playing fighting games with my friends.
Oh my god, what
that's
if,
it. I just really got to make that happen.
Wait, what if the Axeman gave Papa Legba all like a bunch more cocaine and better cocaine to get a hell with Fiona? You know what I mean? Like maybe that's like the unseen piece of it.
Do you think Papa Legba was like weirded out by it? He was like, well, no, you can't want to go to hell. That's like, that's fucked up and weird.
I want you to give me a job in another person's hell. Like, oh, okay, I guess, you know. Sure.
He's like, well, now you're making me weird about it.
I think Papa Legba's just a big fan of jazz.
Yeah, probably.
He was like, yeah, man, I'll hook you up.
I could see that.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why he agreed to it. He was like, oh, I get to hear jazz forever for the rest of eternity. It sounds like Fiona would hate that, but I think it kicks ass.
Beats the shit out of the noise of all these fucking babies crying. Why did I get all these?
Speaking of a million babies crying, we're back at the Robajah house one last time with the 9,000 new baby witches all crammed into the foyer of Miss Robajah's house. Well, Delia and Queenie and Zoe stand in front of it. And they, one of them, well, she's like, do you have any questions? And a bunch of them raise their hand. And then one of them gets picked out of the crowd. And the question is, what's a supreme? And I'm like, how do you even know what that is?
What's a supreme?
Yeah. I'm like, how do you even know what that is? Like, how do you even know what that is when you haven't been here? Whatever. And then I don't remember whether it's Queenie or Zoe, but one of them says, you're looking at her, and gestures to Delia, which is supposed to be like this hard moment of like, oh shit, like you're looking at her, ooh, air horns.
Yo,
noise.
But
that super doesn't answer the question that girl asked.
Also,
that turbo does not answer the question.
Also, I'm sorry, there's no amount of like heat you can provide to a delivery to make someone who's standing there like Martha Stewart on the stairs make me be like, damn, that lady's hard. Like, it's just not happening.
Because, like, you could replace the word supreme with, like, any other, like, position of, like, mediary power.
What's a botanist?
Yeah, you're looking at her. Like, okay, great. So what is it though? Like, what is it?
Oh, someone who works on plants a lot. Yeah. They have a condition.
Yeah. Oh, the end.
No moral.
Yeah, that is actually the end, for the record, is Cordelia's a supreme, I guess. You're looking at her.
Is this the sloppiest episode we've seen, or season we've seen so far? Like,
I think Roanoke still takes the cake for me.
I think it's the biggest gap of, like, I was having a good, cool, fun time, and then they just, like, dropped a bag of marbles all over the floor and shoved me onto them. Like, it really was, like, an absolute pivot from, like, hey, this is a good, cool, fun time, to just, like, so why was Zoe here? Which is, like, now I can't stop thinking about that. What did Zoe do? Why did Zoe have demon coochie? Why was Zoe here? Did we need Zoe? Was Zoe ever, like, an important foil? Could Madison and Kyle have just done that without Zoe?
But for real, they set her up like the protagonist to this. This show opened with her.
She does nothing!
Yeah! She, like, killed a bunch of zombies with a chainsaw. Like, you kind of expect her to be, like, oh, she's going to be the next Supreme. Like, this is kind of where the plot seems to be going. But then she meets Kyle, and then it's like, nah, I'm just a girlfriend character, teehee, or something, you know? It's weird.
I feel like, me personally, mm-hmm. I feel like we didn't spend enough time, like, as a group, not just us, the podcast, like, the characters in the show, we did not spend enough time investigating Queenie having sex with the Minotaur. Why that was first decision. That was her first instinct when a Minotaur came to kill her and the rest of the girls, and her idea. I'm all for it, because, like, shoot your shot.
I thought it was tight.
Yeah. But, like, no one brought that up, and I feel like that's quite strange that everyone was like, no, that was fine and normal, that Queenie's first reaction was to fuck the Minotaur. Just like,
she was just like, oh, it killed me. It stabbed me with a horn. And they were like, why are you naked? She's just like, oh, they must have done that after.
Just got out of the shower. Also, you know.
I needed to go get a towel, and then I got gored. Oh.
Yeah. Fiona dusting off her hands after she single-handedly dispatched the Minotaur off screen. So, Queenie, why did he have a raging boner?
Why want the Minotaur so hard, Queenie?
Queenie goes, it's a little weird you noticed that. And it's like, you know, but still, yeah. But we're asking the questions, Queenie. You know,
what else am I supposed to be looking at, Queenie? Like, what a season, though. Cordelia becoming the Supreme is, like, truly, if you had asked me what's the most boring person to end up being the Supreme, I'd be like, the daughter of the Supreme who has been suppressed by herself, I guess, by deciding not to try things. And lo and fucking behold, it's that.
Oh my God.
More boring than Zoe, who's the person they introduced as becoming the Supreme, like, more or less for the purpose of the plot, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Also, like, it would have been really lame. I wouldn't have liked it, but it would have, like, made more sense if, seeing that all the girls all started developing all the powers towards the end.
They all were.
Yeah, if that was the takeaway, is that, oh, actually, all of us are the Supreme. We have just grown as witches over a period of time, and now we're all super powerful. We don't have a Supreme anymore. We're just, all of us are the Supreme. That would have been, like, it would have been lame as hell.
The average skill level of the community is just, like, way higher now. Like, if someone finds a new spell, they post about it on TikTok, and, like, 10 minutes later, like, half the community can do it,
Do the last Jedi thing of, like, you know, maybe the old ways are, like, kind of outdated and stuff, and we don't need, like, a single Supreme. You know what I mean? Like, we've, like, learned something about all of which, you know what I mean? Like, you could have played it a lot of different ways.
Or Madison becomes the Supreme, ends up completely wilding out, taking herself out, and then the group collectively decides, we don't need Supremes anymore. Mm-hmm. Like, that would be, like another thing of just turning against the old order. There's like, something interesting there, as opposed to, oh, you know, I just, I never really tried to throw a fireball. I didn't think I could.
Yeah. That's so cool. I think, like what Ty said, the reason why specifically this one feels particularly disappointing is because, like, up until now, even though we watched like a bunch of them out of order, up until now, none of them have been like kind of good for a few episodes and then just taken such an atrocious nosedive. All of them have
also
up until
like
now,
a fun
started
weird
bad.
Dive.
Yeah.
Because, like, the Kathy Bates twist was like, well, this isn't good, but it's fun. You know?
Yeah. So that's the end of Coven. It is, weirdly, one of the only seasons that gets, like, a direct sequel, kind of, in another season.
That's true.
We're quite a ways away from that one. We have a couple other seasons we have to talk about before we get there, because that one also includes other seasons in it. Yeah. Coven is just, like, the foundation of that season.
Coven also gets referenced in American Horror Stories, but for no reason, once we get to that episode, you know? But, like, it's just like, by the way, this was a prequel to Coven, and you're like, it was? It had nothing to do with Coven. No, dude, it was, trust us, you know? And I hate to spoil that, but, you know, it's just, it's there. So, fuck this show.
You're telling me there's a rubber woo man?
Whoa.
Speaking of rubber woo man, speaking of the rubber woo man episode, hey, we have a Patreon over at patreon.com/greatandterribleahs, and that is and written out, not the funny symbol that it stands for and. It's write it out full style. We've got some bonus episodes over there where we talk about American Horror Stories. One of which is, in fact, Rubber Woo Man Part 1 and Rubber Woo Man Part 2, which I can't, man, those were stinky, and yet they were no bro house. And we'd super appreciate it if you'd head over there and support us. Like, obviously got to pay for a little bit of hosting cost, but, it helps out a ton. Thank you so much. And yeah, what seasons were we looking at for next? Because it sounded like y'all had a pretty clear... clear-cut idea.
I think we were going with, Liz, like, you're thinking we go right to season 4 there?
Yeah, I think we just keep trucking. I think we just keep trucking in the chronological order now to Freak Show.
I'm with you. I'm,
yeah. Oh, buddy, is there some shit we got to talk about in Freak Show? I don't think... There's, like, if you think that, like, oh, it's a circus season, so, like, it's got a certain level.
Yeah, there's
like a clown season?
This is a clown season, baby. But
it's a clown
for the
season.
Boys!
And all of the ways you're already thinking, they're probably going to do some weird shit. They're going to do it so much weirder and worser than you think that they're going to. I guarantee.
Yes. Yes. Finally, clown season. One for the boys. Here it is.
Yeah. Clown season, the first clown season. Because we got Cult way after Freak Show. They were like, clowns too. And then they did it weird and bad.
That was like clowns on the side, really. That's more like you're going to a buffet and like they happen to have a clown bar. It's not like a whole clown restaurant. Oh, man. Well, I look forward to it and I hope you all do too. Thank you so much for listening. I think that'll do it for us for this season. Thanks again for joining us. Have a great night.
Bye.
So long, folks.